knowing that you have sufficiency, or you're more than able to do, that is not the peace he's talking about. This is a peace of the Spirit. Amen. There is a huge difference between the peace of the world, which will come and which will go. Amen. To the peace of the Spirit. Now, the peace of the Spirit is not something that you get in little bits. God doesn't give you a tip. God doesn't give you a smidgen and say, well, grow it yourself. No, he doesn't do that. The fruit of the Spirit, the fullness of the fruit of the Spirit dwells within you because you've got the fullness of the Spirit living within you. You didn't get half of the Holy Spirit. You didn't get his leg and you just didn't get his arm. You just didn't get his body. You got the fullness of God. Can I hear an amen? Therefore, if the fullness of God dwells within me bodily, I then have the fullness of peace dwelling within me because it's his fruit. I'm going to say that again. It is his fruit. It is not your fruit. I must be fruitful with the fruit that he gives me, but it is his fruit. So when I am weak, my Bible says I can be strong. When there's calamity about me, I can have peace. And it's not something conjured, and it's not something made up, and it's not something that I orchestrate because I have the capacity to do it. It has to be a thing of the Spirit, because with the Spirit it will remain. Amen? But the world peace will come and it will go. Just ask Ukraine and Russia. 1 minute they've got peace, next minute they haven't got peace. World War II with Hitler. 1 minute's got peace, next minute hasn't got peace. Let's get closer to home. Husband and wives. 1 minute is peace, and next minute, there's annihilation. No, not in our house, eh, love? Praise the Lord. So there's joy, there's peace, there's long-suffering, there's kindness, there's goodness, there's faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no laws. Philippians 4, verse 6 and 7 says this, be anxious for what?
Nothing.
Nothing. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. I'm going to stop it right there because anxiety can hinder your prayer life. I'll say that again. You being anxious of your tomorrow and your today can hinder your prayer life. Because what my prayer life will end up being is talking to him about everything I need tomorrow. Instead of worshiping him, loving on him, adoring him, magnifying him, blessing him. My Bible says, does he not know your needs? Does he not know what you need? Does he?
Yep.
Yes, he does. Therefore, my prayer life should not be about so much my anxieties. My prayer life should be acknowledging him that he is my everything and he's the source of my everything and he knows my need. Amen? My Bible actually says this, before you even ask, he knows. Amen. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses what? All understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. There is a guard that's placed on your heart and your mind called peace. The minute you lose your peace, the minute your mind and your heart is open to attack. It's open to attack. And the attacks are usually things like this. Does God care? The attacks can be something like this. Does God love me? Why isn't it working out for me? Why is this allowed to happen? Why am I going through what I'm going through? And therefore, it can shake my heart and it can captivate my mind to such a point where I start to do a thing called worry. Anyone ever worried? None of us are exempt. Amen. None of us are exempt. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 6. We're going to read from 25 to 29. Matthew 6, 25 and 29. Says, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate one and love the other, or he'll be devoted to one and despise the other. I'm reading from the English Standard Bible. You cannot serve God and money. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life. Old King James, New King James will probably say worry. Same word. All right? Do not worry. Do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body. Three things he mentions. Eat, drink, body. Eat, drink, body. Sustenance. Amen? And what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and is not your body more than clothing? Here's the key. They're in blue, so you can see them. Look. Jesus says, look. What am I looking at? Am I looking at my need and my problem? Or am I looking at Him as my source to everything? What am I looking at? And more so today than ever before, society has placed pressures on people, especially households that have got a mortgage. Interest rates. And I'm not trying to be a bearer of bad news, but they're going to keep going up. And all of a sudden, the enemy will try and use pressures about us to take our minds off the things of God. Amen? To keep our minds set on the seek ye first the kingdom of God. And His way of doing things. So He says, look at the birds of the air, that they neither sow nor reap nor gather into the barns. Look at the goodness of your God to everything about you. Look at it. Look at what He does every day. He causes the earth to keep spinning. He keeps it on its axis. He gives you breath every morning if you get up. He allows you to get up and walk. He allows you to have a job. He allows you to have health. He allows so many. We've got to look at the goodness of our God in the midst of whatever's happening about me. I must keep looking to Him, the author and the finisher of my faith, and not looking at the problem that will cause me anxiety. Amen? Did I spit on you? Sorry, love. Look at the birds of the air, so, and yet your heavenly Father, another reminder, your heavenly what? He's your Father. And if a father wants to do good things to his children, your God knows your need and He desires to do good things for you. Amen? As a father, He expects me to walk as a son. Not an orphan spirit, a son. In other words, being under the captivity of the governmental order of the Father Himself, saying, Lord, I refuse to be moved by what's ever happening around me or whatever is coming before me or my past that's speaking behind me. God, I trust You. You are my Father. Amen? Your Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Third word. You got to know your value to the Father. To stop anxiety and worry coming into my soul, I must be anchored on my value of to my Father. How much does He value me? What's your value to Him? He values you more than everything and anything else He's created. He values you more. He's talking about the birds. He's talking about the world. He's talking about the sustenance and food. He's talking about all that sort of stuff. In fact, the whole chapter 26, he's talking about everything that He provides. And right at the end, all the challenges of all that, he said this, don't be anxious about any of those things that you're going to might have to go through. I'm your Father. I value you. The dilemma is a lot of times we get a revelation of the value that God puts upon us. But here's one of the hardest things Christians fight with. They don't value themselves. We have a saying, love God, love people, love yourself. And one of the greatest calamities I see in church today is this. They don't value themselves enough. We have a pandemic, not just in anxiety and all that sort of stuff in the house of God. Here's another pandemic that's in the church. Immorality. Why? Because they don't value themselves enough. You can say amen. They don't value themselves enough. So you have mainly young women, but not necessarily women's problem, surrendering that area of their life to be loved. Thinking that if they give that part of their life, he will love them more. Footnote hint, as a man, and when I was a young man, that is not the case. That is not the case. And most men, like the rest of us men, don't see that at all. We just see a trophy. We see an accomplishment, even as Christians. So we have this dilemma that people don't value themselves. But God values you so much that he would send his only begotten son to die just for you and me. Amen? He values me so much that right from Genesis right to Revelation, he's pursuing me. Do you realize that your God is actually in pursuit of you? He desires you so much to be in relationship with you and me that he would pay the ultimate price, give the most valuable possession that he had so he can be in relationship with you and I. He wants me not just to value what his love is towards me. He wants me to understand that I am valued. It brings a peace to know that the love of your Father, no matter what storm I'm coming through, your Father's love never changes toward me. It is an anchor to my soul. It keeps me from touching things I shouldn't touch and doing things I shouldn't do and speaking things I shouldn't speak, because it's not because I have to, but because I'm overwhelmed by the love of the Father. Hallelujah. The minute I get into a place where I think I should do and have to, I will fall into works. And then I'm going to show God how much I love him by doing. So I learned to live a lifestyle of sacrifice. Nothing wrong with sacrifice as long as it's done in love. But when you're doing it out of an attitude of have to, you're under the law. It'll bring death. It'll kill your joy. It'll kill your peace. Amen? It has to be an act of love. Are you not more value than they? Look at what God is doing and demonstrate around his life. He wants you to understand your value and your worth. He sees in you that you are defined by him. I'm going to say that again. When you understand the value he has for you, you are defined by him. You are not defined by your past. You're not defined by how much you've got. You're not defined by how much you lack. You're not defined by what things have happened to you, and you're certainly not defined by what people say. You are defined by him. Amen? When I was born, March 27th, 1959, vintage year, Good Friday, can't get any more holy than that. My mum was the oldest daughter of six girls. My granddad's name is Davison, my dad's dad, my mum's dad. She thought she would name me after him, Davison. Never heard that word until I was 12 years old. I was always called Davy. If I was in trouble, it was David. But Davy was my name, and all of a sudden, I've realized my name was Davison. Never used it, don't like it. If I had a middle name, I'd probably use that, but I haven't got one. Anyway, knowing nothing about that, you've got to understand that the father and the mother have the rights to name the child. No one else. Your Father in heaven has named you. Don't let anyone else name you. Your Father, that's your Father's right. Amen. Anyway, after a few years and I grew up, that was only a few years ago, I went on a trip to England one day with my wife. I went to my mum's best friend's house. She has known her since she was 4. Ethel. Good old Ethel. They invited us into their house. They gave up their bed for us, which I didn't know. We didn't know at the time, but they did. Anyway, we're talking to Ethel. I had never met the woman in my life, but felt like she was a second mum. Chatting away. Bert, he had his throat cut out, and he had one of these machines that he could talk through. Great guy. And it got onto families. I says, how do you know my mum? Well, I've known your mum since she was 4 years old. And when your mum your nana was put in hospital 1 year, and they were put into a home. And so the 6 girls were in this home. And when my mum found out, she got the 6 girls out and they lived with us until your nana got better. Oh, Ethel thought I was going to leave it there. But you see, I'm quite nosy. I like to know things. I says, why did my nana go to hospital? Bert looks at Ethel and Ethel looks at Bert. I'm looking at Matilda. Silence hit the room. He says, do you really want to know? I said, yeah, I really want to know. He said, well, your granddad hit your nana and put her in hospital. I said, my granddad, which I didn't really know well, to be honest. I mean, I come over here when I was 11. I went, oh, tell me more. He says, do you really want to know? I said, yeah. He said, he was a pig. I said, really? Didn't affect me at all because I didn't know him, to be honest. What affected me was I was named after him. I said, Mum and I are going to have a chat when I get home. Anyway, he would belt my nana, but he worked in the shipyards. So the guys got sick and tired of him belting nana, strung him over the side of a ship 5 stories up. Men were men in them days. And said, if you touch her again, we'll let you go and we'll say you tripped. And you won't touch her again because you'll be dead. He never touched her again. Otherwise, half the shipyard would have been around the house, knocked some sense into him. I gets home. Mum's all excited to hear about Ethel and Bert. Good old Ethel and Bert. She goes, how was your trip, son? I said, good, Mum. Let's have a chat. Let's have a chat about Granddad. That man you named me after, Davy's son. She went as white as a ghost. I said, sit down. No, she's in her 70s by this time. I'm in my 50s. Sit down. We are 50, I think. Maybe a bit more, 55. I said, tell me why you named me after my granddad, Davison. I said, he was a beep. This is the truth. She says, because I wanted him to love me. I wanted him to love me. You were the firstborn grandchild. I thought if I named him after him, he'd love me. I said, did it work? She goes, no. I says, well, don't call me that name anymore. And God spoke to me so clearly. He says, don't go by that name. You go by what I call you. I don't use that name unless I have to sign a legal document. I am, the word Davison means David's son, right? And that's what God said to me. He said, you're the son of David in the spirit. Don't be named or tagged by your past. Don't allow anyone to name you but me. I'm your Father of heaven. You have been named by God Almighty. Let no one ever define who you are or your past define who you are. Your God has named you. Amen. I'm not defined by my past, my heritage, my abundance, or my lack. I'm defined by what the Father says and how my Father values me. I don't care how people value me. I don't care if they want to clap me, praise me, speak against me. I don't care about that. What I care about is what he thinks of me. Come on now. That's your value. So when hell and high water breaks through and trouble starts and anxieties happen and worries do come, hear me, no one is exempt from these things. It says there is enough trouble in the day thereof. And there's enough trouble in your tomorrow. Don't bring your trouble of tomorrow into your today because it will rob you of today. Amen. You've got to captivate those thoughts and captivate your mindset and guard your heart and your mind with the peace of God, understanding that the peace of God is a spirit thing. It isn't a feeling. It can accompany a feeling, but it is not a feeling. It is a knowing of a knowing of a knowing my value to my Father. Can I hear an amen? Verse 27, Matthew 6, says this, and you being, which of you being anxious can add a single hour to his lifespan? You can't add anything by worrying. 28, and why are you anxious about clothing? Consider. Next one. Consider. Value, now consider. You've got, what am I considering? What am I considering? What is at the foremost of my mind? What am I thinking on and thinking about? What do I put my effort in and considering? Am I considering a way out of my predicament? Am I considering what someone might have said about me? Am I considering what someone might have done to me? Am I considering my lack? What is my considering? Where is my mind? Jesus gives me a foremost answer to my issue is, seek ye first the and his right way of doing things, amplified version. What am I considering? Because it will, that what I'm considering will either activate or deactivate stress, worry, and anxiety. Or can I turn it around and consider the glory, the power, the majesty, the sovereignty, the beauty, the love of my Father in heaven? Can I consider those things? Am I given more time to that or more time to the problem? Where is my head? My Bible says in Ephesians, put on the mind of. The mind of Christ is this, servanthood towards the Father. That's it. How can I please him? How can I honor him? Being obedient to him. Amen. Next one, please. 29, I tell you, even as Solomon in all his glory is not arrayed like one of these, but if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown in the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little? Oh. Now we have a faith issue. Now I have a faith issue. When I'm considering and worrying and putting all that stuff in the foremost of my mind, I'm actually operating out of little faith. Because what I'm doing, I'm putting my own efforts, strength, and stamina into doing what I think I should do for my tomorrow and my today. Instead of relaxing and saying, God, I'm going to trust you in this. Lord, if you want me to do something, tell me. If I need to do something, tell me. If I need to be active in something, show me. But Lord, I'm not going to move until you say do something. And I rest in my storm. I rest. I actually can do what Jesus did, sit back, maybe even get rocked to sleep. Until there's a time to rise and he places the words in my mouth and I can say to that storm, what? What? Peace. Hallelujah. The rebuke was peace. Do you know when you stay in peace, you're actually rebuking the enemy? You're actually coming against the wiles and the schemes of the devil by you staying in your peace? Do you know when he comes and wants to flood your mind and your heart with doubt, with unbelief, with all that garbage that he wants to keep me in my past and the pain of my yesterday? When you stay in the peace of God, which is a spirit thing, you're actually warfaring God. You're warfaring the things of God. He wants to rock your boat. He wants you to jump ship. He wants you to give up. But if you stay in the peace of God, knowing the love of the Father and my value toward him, you won't be moved. Knowing that whatever I need to eat, he'll supply. Whatever clothes I might need, he'll supply. Whatever drink I might require, he'll supply. Because you are more valuable than the birds. You're more valuable to him than whatever else he created. Amen. Oh, you little faith in our Father's care, his love, his provision, can lead me in a place of anxiety. Because my eyes are fixed on my need of today and the provision of my tomorrow. What stops my worry and anxiety is trust that he values me and loves me much more than anything else. That's it. That's it. And that this valiant love opens his hands toward me. He desires to bless you. He desires to bless you enough that your name is written in the palm of his hand. That you are the apple of his eye. Does that mean he doesn't chasten me? Of course he chastens me. He chastens those whom he what? He loves. Does that mean he sometimes allows the situation, scenario to happen in my life or to keep occurring in my life until he gets me to a point where I don't cry out to it, but I cry out to him? Yes. Colossians 3 and 15 says this, let the peace of God rule in your hearts, which is also your call in one body, and be thankful. Isaiah 32, 17, write this down. The work of righteousness will be peace. You keep living righteously with him. You keep walking righteously with him. You keep being obedient and walking out righteous living with him. You will have peace. Amen. The minute I lean upon my own understanding is the minute I will lose my peace. Then the effect of quietness and assurance or confidence is forever. This peace is produced by the Holy Ghost. To free a person from the anxiety, panic, or fear that they face in their troubles. It doesn't say we won't have it or experience it, but it does give me the confidence to rule over it. You can rule over it. Doesn't mean I'm not going to experience it. Doesn't mean it's not going to come to me and trying to get my mindset. But it does, this fruit of the Spirit, this peace of the Spirit will cause me to rule over it. Amen. Peace is not self-assurance. It's not developed by mental control or any emotional feelings, though it can have that effect. The peace that Jesus left us is not of this earth. It is from heaven itself. Amen. The peace of God goes beyond reasoning, understanding of man's concepts, persuasions, and wisdom. It is a fruit of God's Spirit developed, and it is powerful. Hear me, it is powerful. It can transcend logic. The peace of God that goes beyond understanding. It can transcend logic, fear, and panic. It guards one's minds and hearts. It has the capacity to rule and judge over issues of my heart so I maintain control. So in other words, I don't make decisions out of panic. I make decisions out of a place of peace. Hallelujah. Romans 16 and 20 says this, The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. The grace of God and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you. The God of what? Will crush Satan under his feet. Your peace disables the enemy. I'm going to say it again. Your peace disables the enemy. The minute I walk out of that realm of his peace, of the Spirit, I come under a barrage of thoughts. Because what I'm trying to do now, I'm trying to work it out in my own logic and understanding. In a saying, when one guards someone's heart is ruled, and when one's mind is guarded by the peace of God, the peace delivers his heart from fear, concern, and anguish that troubles my soul. It crushes the plans and schemes of the enemy that tries to rob me of my security and peace in him. Psalm 46 and 10 says what? Says what? Be still and know that I am God. Be still. Who's got to do the stilling? Yeah. You can't just sit back and say, oh, well, God, you do everything. Be still. Be still and know that I am God. How do I know that? Exactly right. By being still enough for him to minister to my situation. Be still and know that I am God. I've got to let him. I've got to let God be God. Amen? So often I take control and let myself try to be the God of my life. I've got to let him be God. It will cost me to walk in integrity or uprightly. It will require me to trust him and allow my peace to be ruled, my thought process, and not by my logic or my understanding and wisdom. It will require me to do this word that we don't like to talk about too much, submit. Submit. Job 22:21 says this, submit to God and be at peace with him. In this way, prosperity will come to you. Whew! I ain't talking money and just money. Submit to God and be at peace with him. In this way, prosperity will come to you. Proverbs 14 and 13 says this, a heart at peace gives life to your what?
Body.
Do you know one of the greatest killers today is anxiety? And I'm not just talking about because of internal conflict. I'm talking about some people get so worked up and so oppressed by the spirit that they'll take their own life. Children being tormented on Facebook. Children egging other children on to kill themselves. And the thing is, their value system gets so eroded that they don't think they're worth anything anymore. And hell is clapping its hands. In your house, dads, name your own children. Don't let school do it. Don't let a teacher do it. Don't let your neighbor do it. Don't let your friend do it. You better name them for who they are. Amen. Next one, if I've got one. John 17:14-27 says this, peace I leave with, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled. This peace stops a troubled heart. Peace stops a troubled heart. Neither let it be afraid. Peace deals with fear within. Peace I leave you, my peace, heavenly, not earthly, but that of the Spirit. My peace I give to you. Jesus never left a portion of peace. He left the fullness of peace. You can have it all. You're going to have to work at it. You've got to trust him with it. Amen. He values me and wants me to consider his love toward me, and he wants me not to have a little faith in him, but be faithful, faith to the full in his love for me. Not faith in things. Not faith in my wants. Not having faith in faith. Having faith in the love of the Father toward me. That's where my faith lies. If I have faith in people, they will let me down. And it doesn't mean they do it purposely. They're people. They make mistakes. If I have faith in stuff, it will come and it will go. But I have faith in a God who changes not. I have a faith in a God who is for me and not against me. I have a faith in God whose love is no shadow of turning in Him toward me. He loves me. And He loves you. And I'm named by Him. And my value is in Him. Amen. Learn to deal with today and stop bringing tomorrow's problems into today. Sufficient for the day is the trouble, is its own trouble in verse 34. Do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Jesus is trying to teach us something. Don't be anxious about tomorrow. Stop worrying about your tomorrow. May I say, with all sincerity of heart, I'll say it like this. You don't even know if you're going to wake up tomorrow. You don't know if you're going to wake up. One of Matilda's dad's very close friends, I talked to him at coffee. We talked to him at coffee, mainly me, at the coffee club. Matilda's dad's been dead nearly 20 years. Anyway, this guy, he's getting on a bit. And his good friend Santos, I was talking to him 2 weeks ago. Santos, he's been having coffee with every morning, 5 days a week, for 18 years. Passed away. He found him in his house, dead, because he didn't answer the door to go for coffee. So he thought, I've got a key, I'll walk in. And there he was, dead on the floor. I said, was that sudden? He says, so sudden. I said, yeah. I said, death can be like that. So sudden. He said he was just great walking. You could tell what he was doing. He was walking in the room, and he all of a sudden must have got some pain, grabbed the chair, fell over, and the chair was on top of him. I said, he had no health issues? None at all. He says, fit. You don't know when you're going to go. You don't know how old you're going to be when you go. Amen? But it gave me a great opportunity to minister to that man. Be right with God. Amen? Should we stand this morning? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I don't know what might be troubling you today, but I want you to know one thing. Your God is greater than your trouble. I want to say it again. Your God is greater than your trouble. Your God is greater than your lack. Your God is greater than your need. Amen. And your God loves you. I don't know what you might be experiencing you in your own home. I don't know if you've been named or labeled by anyone else. But I'm telling you now, if you really want to know who you are, you get in His presence. You talk to Dad, and He'll talk back to you. Amen. You get in relationship with Him. Well, I spoke the other week about prayer. Prayer, all prayer is intimacy with Jesus. That's it. Talking to Him so He can talk back to you. He paid the price for that. Don't neglect it, please. If you want to hear from Him, you better talk. Amen. Even though He is a mind reader, He knows the thoughts and intents of your heart. But He likes to hear you verbalize it. Amen. Whatever anxiety you might be feeling, whatever stress you might be going through, whatever worry that might be trying to consume you right now, your God is greater. Amen. Every head bowed, every eye closed this morning. Your God wants to show Himself off to you. He wants to be the keeper of your soul. Amen. Whatever that burden might be this morning, I want you to lay it at the foot of his cross. You say, Father, here it is. I haven't got any peace. I just seem to be constantly battling all the time. I struggle trusting you. I know I hear it over and over again, you love me. I just don't feel I experience that love. Lord, you don't know what I'm going through in my house. Pressures, financial pressures, concerns and worries about my spouse, worried about my kids. Father, I need to lay that at the foot of the cross. Trust you. If that's you this morning, I want you to lift your hands before the Lord. You lift it before the Lord. This is you. This has been you and him. This is you and him. Father, 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 you see our hands raised this morning. Lord, none of us are exempt from the pressures of life. Teach us to lean into you. Teach us to know our value in your eyes. Help me to love me as you love me, that I can love someone else. Help me this day, Father, to let go of my yesterday and the names of my yesterday. And those tags that people might have placed upon me, I curse them in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Father, I pick up the name that you've named me. And I thank you today. My today is found in you, and my tomorrow is set in you. I thank you today, you set me free. I thank you today, my family, do not define me. I thank you in the name of Jesus. Father, help me to name my kids. Help me to speak over them. Help me to speak the promises and the purposes of God. In the name of Jesus Christ, I receive it. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. If you need prayer this morning, if you just feel as though any other things that might be a bit deeper than you want personal prayer about, I'll be here to pray with you this morning. Amen. We have not got it, so that's good. All right. God bless you. Have a good week, successful week, and know the love of your Father. Amen.